Amen. Hallelujah. It is always good to be in the house of God. Amen. Can we be on our feet, please? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord. We are so grateful to thee, Lord, for granting us the opportunity, Lord, to come to your presence once again, to offer, Lord, our sacrifice of praise and worship unto thy holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tonight, once again, we are rededicating our lives into your care, O God. Now may you come and take absolute control and preeminence of our lives in the service, Lord Jesus. That as we begin to sing the songs of Zion, Lord Jesus, windows of heaven, Lord, will be open, Lord, and you pour your showers of blessings upon us, Lord Jesus. That by the time we leave this place, O God, it will be testimonies, Lord. One testimony to the other, Lord. That the devil is always kept outside, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your grace once again. In Jesus' name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus breaks every fetter. Amen. Jesus breaks every fetter. Jesus breaks. Hallelujah. Jesus breaks every fetter. And he set me free. Amen. For it reaches the high. Power, it reaches
Again, hallelujah, I am saved, saved, saved my way. I'm so glad that I am found out. He could bring me out, show me the way.
Amen. Jesus died, and that he died for me. Sing it again. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. God bless you. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. Today we have just two prayer requests here. It says, please pray for Sister Gina. She is not feeling well. God bless you. That is from Brother Timber. Amen. And then Sister Christian Mabe says, I thank God for giving me another year. Happy birthday. Amen. 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 We'll call on Brother Timber to pray, commit the service, the tithes and offerings to the hands of the living God this morning and this afternoon.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it such a privilege to be here this evening, O Lord. And Lord, we know where two or more are gathered together in your name. Amen. There you are in the midst, O Father.
Amen.
So we welcome the presence of Jesus Christ into this place. Amen. Lord Jesus, bless every person that's here this evening, O Lord Jesus. Amen. Made their way here, O Lord. No doubt there's obstacles and things, O Lord, but they wanted to be here in the house of God, O Lord, to hear your word.
Amen.
And Lord Jesus, we know you being here, O Father. Lord Jesus, these prayer requests are put before you, O Lord. Many needs are in the congregation, O Lord Jesus. You know all the things that we have need of, dear Lord Jesus. You know what's in our hearts, dear Lord. Lord, I ask that you would touch Sister Gina, O Lord. She's not here tonight, O Father. Lord, she has not feeling well, O Lord. May you touch her in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for Christian, O Lord, adding another year to his life. O Lord, he's such a wonderful young man, O Lord, that tries to do and help the congregation any way he can, O Lord Jesus. May you continue to watch over him and bless him, O Lord Jesus. Lord, this song service and this whole service, O Lord, is dedicated to you, O Father. Lord Jesus, as we sing the songs of Zion, may you touch Brother Michael as he tries to lead the Lord or lead the congregation, O Father. And Lord, may you lead him, O Lord, by your Spirit, lead the musicians. Lead the congregation, O Lord, as it produces an atmosphere here, O Lord, that's welcoming to your presence, O Lord. As Brother George is getting ready in the back, O Father, may you prepare him, O Lord. May you use him, O Lord. May you take him out of the way, dear Lord Jesus, and speak through him, O Lord, in such a way that it would touch the needs of your people. O Lord, every gift, O Father, is given from Thee, O Lord, to hit at a certain angle, O Lord, just exactly what we have need of, O Father. Lord Jesus, yesterday was the 7th of July, O Lord, the 7th month. There's a reason for that. Everything has a purpose, O Lord. And Lord Jesus, we believe that we're here for a purpose. And Lord Jesus, may you speak to us, O Lord Jesus, the hungry hearts that are here. Lord Jesus, it doesn't have to be a certain way, dear Lord Jesus, for you to speak to your people, for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost, whatever it may be, dear Lord Jesus. We ask that you would just take control of this service, O Lord. It's all in your hands, dear Father. Bless the tithes and the offering. May they be used for your kingdom and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God have got it all, we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. We are often tortured dreaming on the restless sea of time, numbered skies and all the tempests of search seated fast and time. In the land of everything, when a mist of full of wings, we will understand it better by and by. Hallelujah, by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints, oh God, I've got it all, we will tell the story how we overcome. We are often destitute of the things of life and love, water, food, and water, shelter, testy hills and very land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Hallelujah, by and by. When all the saints, oh God, I've got it all, we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways of the believers to the blessed promised land. God, you guide us with His eye, and we follow you with eye. Understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints, God, I've got it all, we will tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares, often take us on our words, and our hearts are made to be for many talkless little teeth. And we wonder what it lures when we try to do our best. We will understand it better by and by. Hallelujah, by and by. When the morning comes, when all the saints of God have got it all, we will tell a story how we overcome.
yonder roll is gone, I'm yonder. When the roll is gone, I'm yonder. When the roll is gone, I'm yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord is sound, and to be a war, resurrection day. It's God of the yonder, I'll be there. Hallelujah, when the roar is God of yonder. When the road is God of yonder.
Number 87.
It's God of yonder. When the road is God of yonder, I'll be there.
Let us level for the master, for the dawn of set and shine.
Glory on the desert work.
And the Lord is God up yonder, I'll be there.
Amen. When the road is God up yonder, when the road is God up yonder, hallelujah. When the road, hallelujah. When the road is God up yonder, when the road is God up yonder, when the road is God up yonder, when the road is God, when the redeemed are gathering, wash like snow.
Number 7.
Oh, I will shout,
amen,
I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering. I am thinking of the rapture in a blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering. I will raise the heavenly anthem in the city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering. Hallelujah, when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, it's like snow and free from falling. I will sound and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold, when the redeemed, when the redeemed are gathering. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, oh, the city will be full, when the redeemed,
sing it loud, hallelujah,
amen, when the redeemed,
yes, sir.
I will shout and I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering. Saints will sing redemption story with your voices clear and strong, when the redeemed are gathering. Then the angels of all this day, all the cattle join that song, when the redeemed,
hallelujah,
are gathering.
Yeah.
When the redeemed are gathering,
wash my soul and free from all sin.
I will shout, I will sing, when the redeemed are gathering. Then the Savior will give others to prepare a banquet for, when the redeemed
Amen. Amen. To change the order of the service and invite the minister, we sing Amazing Grace. Amen.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound of the sea that you save.
By grace we've made it this far. By grace we'll continue on. Amen. God bless you all for coming tonight on a Saturday evening. It's a blessing to be in the house of God. Amen. Brother George was so kind to come and give us a little bit of his time. He's actually going to be traveling down to where I'm from in the lower parts of Virginia, a little town called Short Gap, Virginia. And I'm from a little town called Richlands, Virginia. But Brother Monroe Greeley is the pastor down there. And Brother George is going down to do their dedication services. I think 20 years, anniversary services. And so he passed by our way to give us a little bit of his time. We appreciate that. Lord willing, tomorrow after the morning service, I'll be rushing Brother George down to Richmond. So if you want to shake his hand tonight, it'll be your turn. But you'll get one more chance because he'll be with us Wednesday night also. Then after that, amen. Amen. So we appreciate the time. So without further ado, we'll ask Brother George to come. Take the service. You listen. Let God speak to your heart. Let it be a blessing to you.
Friends, David says, I was glad when they said, I like the rhyme and the rhythm. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Not to keep you standing, let us take a scripture reading, and thereafter I'll appreciate the pastor one more time. Our scripture reading is 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon, at the age of 18, had just taken the kingdom. And he had asked God to give him wisdom, because how is he going to rule over the septuagenarians and octogenarians and nonagenarians, meaning the 70, 80, 90-year-old men who were reigning with his father? He's only 18. He said, Lord, give me wisdom. Now, how God tested his wisdom back to him was when two women came over to be judged because they were fighting over a child. I would like to take one verse. In verse 24, please notice the reading. It's always hidden in how it is written. It says, and the king said, are you there? 1 Kings 3:24. And the king said, notice, bring me a sword. What does that tell you? The sword had to come in the hand of a servant. Are you reading me? We are continuing where we left off last night. When he says, bring me a sword, it means a servant must bring the king's sword, which means the king's sword is in the hand of a man. Bring me a sword. And they brought the sword before the king. The king wasn't going to do the cutting himself. The man in whose hand the sword was, he then commanded him, you divide the child. I know the pictures you've seen. Is Solomon holding the sword? No. Read the scripture. You may enjoy the comfort of your seats while I remain standing. I am honored once more to be in your midst. I consider myself but a little fly compared to the great ministers that God has in this beautiful message. What I'm about is just tell what this prophet said. Retell it in the way that God has gifted every man. There's no new message. It's the same message. We are experts in recycling, Pastor. We are recycling experts. Amen. Allow me to say, the more I fellowship with our pastor, Brother Mike Walls, the more I get to love him. The more I realized we are so similar. We've had lunch yesterday, the two of us, lunch again today. I'm amazed that on many, many, many subjects, without having contacted each other, we see it the same way. Let's give our pastor a round of applause. Amen. It's very rare to find a man as balanced as your pastor. So stay with the pastor and grow faster. Amen. Beware a lone ranger. He's a danger. Tonight we want to proceed where we left off last night, but I just want to see by a show of hands how many were not here last night. Okay. So I'm going to have to give a 5 to 10 minute repeat of what we did last night so that you may connect with the continuation. Last night, we took 3 statements that I'm going to open up with, and here they are. The first one comes from, what is the attraction on the mountain? Volume 8, number 8, paragraph 132, where the prophet relates that a sword, rather the sword, fell into his hand. Many people read and stop there, but when you read on, the prophet says, as soon as the sword hit his hand, he said, I said, a king knights a man with a sword. The Queen of England still knights people. I'm sure you've seen that. Kind of a ceremony with many, many, many rules to it. Brother Benham says, secondly, in trying to do God a service, Volume 7, number 2, he says, I said a king's sword, and the voice came back and said, the king's sword. And the prophet says, that's tonight. Tonight with the sword. They knight with it. Third quotation, 1 in a million, volume 18, number 1, paragraph 18. The voice said, this is the sword of the Lord. And I thought, well, then it is to, like when a king knights, they used to do it in England, that's what it is for, to knight. These 3 quotations started me going. So what we did, we began to look into the laws of knighthood. There's no way I can repeat all of last night, but we agree that we were amazed to find that if they train a man to be a knight, they start him at the age of 7. Now already your mind is running as to how the voice spoke to Brother Branham at the age of, you are a wonderful class. And the voice said, do not drink or smoke or defile your body in any way. You see, God was beginning to train his young knight. But when they begin at the age of 7, they have a name for them. They call them a page, like the page in the book. And I love that. Why are they called a page? If you want to play on words, it's because God is going to begin writing on that page. Hallelujah. There's a message of the hour that God is going to write on that page. And that page, as he grows in God's training, is going to bring it over to the bride. He continues training up to the age of 14, and your mind is running already. At the age of 14, Jim Poole accidentally shot a bullet through the prophet's legs. The prophet bleeding was rushed to the hospital, and he tells it many times in the tapes. He says, there my life was ebbing away, and his soul descended. God was training his knight so that when he speaks of heaven and hell, he should know what it's about. We found out last night that the training doesn't stop at 14. It continues for yet another 7 years. 3 sevens. 3 is a number of perfection. 7 is completion. They train him until he's 21. Then we found a quotation where the prophet prays in 1963. He says, Lord, that sword that you put in my hand 33 years ago. Don't get confused. In 63, the literal sword hit his hand. But in this tape, he says, you've given me that sword 33 years ago. He was 54 years then. So when you subtract 33 from 54... you get 21. Wow! So God kept training his knight from age 7 to age 14 to age 21. And according to the laws of knighthood, when he is 21, they give him the king's sword. Amen. Give God the praise. Now the prophet may not have been 21, but we are saying a period of 33 years from 54. There he was, he says, when I was 21, that sword dropped in my hand. How? When the voice spoke from up the river there and said, you take a message. Yes. See? The message is the sword. Is that right? And then, of course, we went on with other things that perhaps as you lick the other bears, you may get to know. So I said last night, the next night, which is tonight, we are now going to prove through the statements the prophet would drop in the tapes that he spoke the language of knighthood, and that is our title tonight. The language of knighthood. I still believe that laying in the tapes, there is still enough food for the bride. I disagree with anybody that says I'm so long in the message. I've listened to all the tapes. Well, believe me, I'm going into my 45th year. It may not be long, but every time I listen to a tape, I learn something new. Because the prophet says, rapturing faith lays in those tapes. You're not going to find it anywhere, folks. I might as well be very honest with you. You're not going to find it in my tapes. Which I don't release my tapes in my church. I just record one tape for my reference. We don't duplicate and send out. See? Because we are convinced that if the bride is looking for rapturing faith, go back to the tapes of Malachi 4. Too many voices today clouding the real voice. But if your local pastor, we must agree now, if the local pastor chooses to release his to his church, he's sovereign. But those who release them everywhere, I have a bit of a problem with that. You know what I'm saying. There is one voice, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, watch, when he, singular masculine, not when they, when he, singular, begins to sound. God bless your heart. So let us continue tonight with the language of knighthood. But before I do, let me reposition you. You see, you have to come to church expecting a blessing, is that right? The prophet says there's a lot to criticize, but we don't come for that. We come rather to get a blessing. How many of you know of a country called Botswana? Botswana, God bless you. It's a country north of us. No, northwest of South Africa. It's a very dry country, predominantly. Perhaps two, half of it or three quarters of it may be desert. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. But the Kalahari Desert, which you, because you cannot speak Setswana, you cannot say Kalahari. So you say Kalahari. That's all right. But the Botswana say Kalahari from the word Khokala, meaning to dry up. So a place that is dried up, they say Kalahari. Kalahari Desert. No, it rains very seldom. Water is one of the biggest problems. So this pastor announces on a Sunday, he says, we are going through a drought, our dams are low, our rivers are drying up, ponds and wells, etc. So come prepared on Wednesday. Are you listening? Come prepared on Wednesday. We are going to pray for rain. In Shona, Mvura, water. Guess what? The church fills up on a Wednesday because everybody wants water, water. Only a six-year-old girl walks in with an umbrella. What does that tell you? She came expecting a blessing. So I hope you've come expecting a blessing tonight and the Lord will not fail you. Now, the language of knighthood. You'll agree with me that language is the most powerful tool of expression given to men. Animals don't have it. Except there was one in the Garden of Eden. He had it and he lost it. And then there was a donkey that once spoke. But believe me, that was his last time. He never spoke again. So God has exceptions to the rule. But other than that, language is a powerful tool given to man to express himself to man and to God. However, there's a word in English called a nuance or nuances, meaning certain words that have got different shades. And there are plenty of those. It'll take me too long to go through some of them. Some of them lay in the message. Take, for instance, a scripture that says, heal us, O Lord, heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Well, at first glance, you're correct. It means if God heals me, I'll be healed. But there is another meaning to it. It's a nuance. You know what it means? It's in regard to marriage. In marriage, when you say, heal us, O Lord, we shall be healed, you are saying, Lord, whatever problems I'm facing in this marriage, you already have the answers. Can you see a nuance? In other words, Brother Benham would call it, prophecy has a double meaning. In fact, tomorrow night, the Lord willing, at Brother Lloyd's, I'd like to preach on this in Hebrew. It's called Adchabash, compound meaning. But for tonight, I want to give you a few examples before we go into these words Brother Benham used. In English, the word P-O-I-S-O-N is poison. And in English, the minute you see poison, you step away. But you go into a French restaurant, there's a word, P-O-I-S-S-O-N, poisson. If you run out of that restaurant, you are going to miss a good meal because it means fish. You see what I'm doing? Spelled almost the same. One has an extra S and it's totally going this way, and the other one is poison. It goes that. That's the power of language. There is a word in Setswana. I am fluent in Setswana by the grace of God. Read, write, speak. I'm in the land of Israel. I'm doing a tour. You probably could have been on the tour with Sister Waynette. We were at Caesarea Philippi. That's where, in that garden, there is a fig tree in the land of Israel that bears male and female leaves on one tree. What does that tell you? The Garden of Eden wasn't far from there. Because the Bible tells you that Adam leaves for the wife, Adam leaves. And when you see those leaves, I need not tell you which one Adam took for himself and which one Eve took for herself. We were in that area. Matthew 16, where Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Oh, we had a good time. But you see, with touring, you have so many sights to see per day, you paid for them. So you've got to keep time. Do so much time here because you paid for the next sight. If you delay, you lose it. We don't come back the next day. So now, there are sisters who stopped at an ice cream parlor. God bless the sisters. And they're doing shopping on top of it. So now, as a guide, and I'm their pastor, I've got to find a very nice way to say, we have to go. But now I know they speak Setswana, so I call them from the bus door. There are many buses. And I'm saying, "Tena, tena, tena," which means come into the bus, come into the bus. A Jewish driver whom I didn't see in my blind spot comes from this side and he gives me a smack. I look Jewish to him. So he gives me a smack. Now, I'm not sure. I'm saying, "What's up?" And he says, "Because you are swearing at the ladies." I said, "Really?" He says, "Tena," and then he realizes, "Oh, no, no, no. I'm a foreign guide." He thought I was Jewish. So I begged him to tell me, "What does the word Tena mean in Hebrew?" He says, "I'm not even at liberty to tell you. But I'll describe to you." You are saying, "Yep. Get away from here," but in a bad way. I said, "Oh, Lord Jesus." That's when I realized what happened at the Tower of Babel. When one was saying, "Come in," another one understood it as, "Buzz off." I'm preparing you for the language of knighthood. I was preaching in Brother Isaac Noriega's church, Tucson, Arizona, some good 15, 20 years ago. And I'm describing this brother who backslid in our church and how the Abrahamic nature is to go after Lot. The sermon is wonderful. People are enjoying it. And I'm saying, and I went looking for this brother and I found him at the roadhouse. And the church dies down on me. Remember, I'm South African. I don't know why they look down. And I'm continuing. I'm saying, and at the roadhouse we had a meal, and what a fellowship I had with this brother. And nobody says amen. At the end of the service, the pastor comes up. He speaks a bit of Spanish, which I hear. I could tell he's doing damage control. So when we went for lunch, he then explains to me, he says, "Had I not been to visit you in South Africa, I would have also misunderstood." He says, "In America, roadhouse means..." I said, "Oh my God." In South Africa, it means a roadside restaurant, like Hardee's, whatever, just where you stop and eat. I said, "Lord, the power of words." And there are plenty such words, and some of them you'll relate to. In South Africa, when you speak of the bonnet of the car, it's what you call the hood. If you say hood in South Africa, they'll bring you the woman's hood. We had a brother, I won't call his name, very eminent, reputable minister, visited my church, and we were eating, and he was calling for a napkin. and the sisters brought him a diaper. You see what I'm saying? Because over here you call it a napkin, but it's a serviette in South Africa. If you say napkin, I warn you, they'll bring you something else. I quickly caught on. I said, he's looking for a serviette. Another one came from Oklahoma, visited the church, and we had a good meal, and he says, could I have some iced tea? And the sisters in South Africa were looking at each other, so they boiled a kettle, drowned the tea bag, and put some ice. And you could see the brother struggle to drink that iced tea. You see? Until I visited America, then I realized, oh no, iced tea here is made differently. So boot, for you, is the trunk. In South Africa, boot is not the boot you wear on your shoe. You can say in the sentence, but if you're talking about a car and you say boot, you say trunk. Is that right? Over here, we say cubby hole, you say glove compartment. If you ever said glove compartment in South Africa, they are lost. It's called a cubbyhole. Wheel spanner, you call it a wrench, I think. Wheel spanner, when you have to loosen the nuts. Yeah, something like that. There's a wrench to it. See what I'm saying? And then we say gear, you say floor shift. You write tire, the tire of a car, with T-I-R-E. If you wrote that in South Africa, they are lost. You've got to make it T-Y-R-E. On and on and on we can go. Now let's bring Brother Branham in. One day I'm listening to a tape, and Brother Branham says, the devil gave us a hickey. I scratched my head, Brother Tim. Hickey? That term is unknown in South Africa. Nobody knows it. So a brother calls me after the tape. He says, Pastor, what did Brother Branham mean, hickey? I said, maybe it's Ricky's sister. Until I traveled to Voice of God, and I was told, oh no. I'm not going to tell you what they told me, but you know what a hickey is. I said, goodness gracious, you see, there is a language in the message that the prophet spoke. And if you don't come into the same inspiration, you will interpret it as something else. Is that right? It's the same as if God says yes to what you ask him and you want it now. Some people talk to God like, give me my answer as of yesterday. No patience with God. So if God says yes immediately, then you get what you want. But if God says no, he'll give you something better. If God says wait, then he'll give you the best. I have a picture here of Orland Walker. We are starting now with our short sermon. This is Brother Orland Walker. Brother Orland Walker, you only hear of him in the message and knoweth it not. Brother Orland Walker is the man who dreamt that Brother Branham was riding on a white horse, dressed like a knight, described the horse as having a war bonnet on and stirrups and the saddle. He saw Brother Branham as a knight. Brother Branham repeats the dream in a Knoweth It Not, October 1965. And a few months later, a sister who didn't hear the sermon dreams of Brother Branham riding on a white horse. And Brother Branham says, sister, that horse is the message of the hour. These were symbols. Now, in the seals, I'm quoting from the old books, 562. I don't know what it is in the new books because we come from the era of spoken word. Amen? So bear with me if I say page 562 and you go to your new book, you will find it. Brother Branham speaks about the word vesture. Do you know the way he used the word vesture dipped in blood? It's the language of knighthood. Vestures were garments they would wear inside before they put the coat of mail. It is the origin of the word vest today. And let me talk to the brothers. If you understand these things, you won't be wearing a vest going to the mall. Because the origin of a vest is to be on the inside. I hope I didn't step on somebody's toes. I don't know how they make them here in America, but in South Africa, we all know that a vest is to be worn on the inside. So the prophet uses the word vest, vesture, and it comes from the old English investiture. When a knight was going to consecrate himself at the altar, where? At the altar, or wherever his Lord chooses to meet him. This is how you're going to see Sabina Kenyon. God chose to meet him there. Amen? Well, then, these garments were called holy garments. Investiture. The prophet uses that. An inner garment for protection. Not only because he's wearing a coat of mail, it might rub against his flesh, cause infections, etc., etc., but it played a kind of protection. And Paul in the Spirit says in Ephesians 6:14, put on the breastplate of righteousness. In Ephesians 5 verse 8, he says the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope and salvation. But over in the other scripture, he says the breastplate of righteousness, faith and love. You're being dressed up as a knight. Have you noticed that when Paul wrote about dressing the soldier, they are in seven parts? Oh, I love Bible readers. Go read it. Seven parts. He mentions only seven things. And what is so striking, he says nothing about covering yourself at the back. All the coverings are for the front. You know why? Because your brother and sister must cover your back. That's how we should be. We should be covering the pastor, his wife, the family, brothers and sisters, our leaders, deacons. We should be covering them, and we should be covering one another. Because when we are going into battle, I don't expect you to be stabbing me from behind. I'm not your enemy. There's Goliath out there. Let's shoot all the arrows at him. Notice that in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6, all the garments are to cover you in front and cover your head. The shield. There's nothing in the back covering you because your brothers and sisters must cover you. The prophet of God in Reproach for the Word, page 7, he now begins to tell how that when those seven angels he saw in the vision, he says they were fully armored. You see? That's a language of knighthood. When a knight prepares to go to battle, he's got to wear all of his armor. And Brother Ben says those angels were fully armored. Romans 13:12. Let's take the armor of light. 1 Corinthians 6:7, the armor of righteousness. Put on the whole armor of God. I'm quoting scriptures you know. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you realize that's knight language? Because knights always lived in castles protected by walls called strongholds. Oh, the message of the hour is alive. And then the prophet begins to describe the horse as Brother Orland Walker described it. He says, great master horse. Notice the word, master horse. It's a language of knighthood. I was shocked to realize this. It wasn't no ordinary horse. Watch his language, master horse. Why? Because the knight receives his horse from his master. We don't want to go into the complications of somebody coming from Canada with a similar horse but smaller, and it was gray. Brother Benham tells these things. He says, and on the man's saddle was the man's signature, the way he signs his letters to me. I might as well tell you, it isn't Eddie Biscoe, but I can tell you after church which brother it was. God already warning the prophet, watch this brother. We'll talk after church. But what we want to concentrate on is great master horse. It's a language of knighthood. Because the master provides the horse, provides the sword, and provides the whole armor. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. And then the prophet goes on to describe that it was a genuine breed of a horse. Oh, I love that. God is saying this message is unparalleled. This is the purest you can ever get. Hallelujah. This is the sword, the horse. It's genuine. It's the message. And I'm not playing games when I say 45 years next year, February, and I haven't seen one mistake. I have seen things that God is allowed to throw off. But once you catch the vein of the message, I sometimes wonder, what mistakes do they see? You have to catch the vein of the message. The vein of the message is a straight line. And it's pointing to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It says, a genuine breed. Hallelujah. And you know what he goes on to say? He says, and the horse had a war bonnet on. You see that word, war bonnet? How many of you have seen in some of the old movies, the horse would have a breastplate? That's a war bonnet. Not only does the knight wear a visor, the horse is also protected likewise. Because the same rider who's going into the battle, that same horse is going to the battle with him. So when they shoot arrows at him, it might hit the horse. So the horse has a war bonnet on exactly. You know, brothers, I'm getting emotional. When Brother Benham told the vision as per the sinking of Los Angeles, Brother Benham used the word that was not known back by the geologists and Osho, whatever, ocean studies, whatever. He said the place is honeycombed. After the prophet spoke it, now they are using the term tectonic plates. They are saying the tectonic plates. The prophet saw it. Because the way he saw the vision, it looked just like the honeycomb, but today they have a better word. I'm saying, watch the language of that prophet. He says it had a war bonnet on in and knoweth it not, paragraph 264. We continue, in and knoweth it not, he says it was a white horse. Now we're not talking color of the skin here, we are talking white, as the prophet says, white light, the purest of all lights. He says, and in the white light are all the other colors. Of course, you've done a little bit of science better than me. You know that when you run a white light through a prism, the white light shows that within the white light it's got the other colors. Is that right? And that's why the prophet said, if you run red through red, it takes you back to white. Why? Our sins are red. Isaiah 1. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, amen, they shall be as white as? We didn't know what that meant until a prophet came and took it from the back part of God's mind and said, now he's running our red sins through the red blood of Christ. It's as white as snow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God sent us a prophet. You know what? The prophet then goes on. And to prove scripture is correct, write down Deuteronomy 32, 41. Deuteronomy 32, 41, you will hear God saying, I will sharpen my sword, which is glittering. Uses the word glittering. Deuteronomy 32, 41, Brother Branham comes in a message entitled, Why Little Bethlehem? And it's paragraph 176. He says, let's follow that sword that's glistening and glittering in the air. Give God the praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. The language of knighthood. I'm going to quote Ezekiel 21. Read it when you get home. From verse 9 to verse 13, it says, the sword is sharpened. Verse 10. The sword of the Lord glitters. Verse 11, the sword that is in the hand of the slayer. Verse 13, the sword of the Lord to bring a trial. To bring a what? Please go back to your message encyclopedia, you know, your index. Count how many times around America Brother Branham preached the message, the trial. And you know when he preached the trial? After the sword hit his hand. You're in Ezekiel 21. It says, the sword in the hand of the slayer, because a trial is to follow. Give God the praise again, brothers and sisters. I said last night, I'm more than convinced I haven't seen anything to match the message of the hour. If there is, I wouldn't be here. Amen? Everything that's come up against it, God has just proven it to be nothing but falsehood. Stay with the message of the hour. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay with me, but stay with the message of the hour and support your pastor. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. In the Easter seal, I'm quoting page 35, fourth paragraph from the top. You know what the prophet says? He speaks about the angels. He says, then there came seven angels, and in his English, and they throwed a sword in their hand. Oh, hallelujah. Now it's telling you that this sword of the Lord didn't just come of his own accord. The Lord with seven heavenly angels came and dropped it in his hand. That is the language of knighthood. The knight doesn't go to steel companies or people who work forge iron and he says, could you make me a sword? No. The master must give him the sword. Say amen, somebody. And the prophet laboring to tell us, folks, he has chosen us to be his knights. You just don't realize how important you are. I have met people in the message who live well below their privileges. You know why? Sorry to step on your toes. We get too busy with other things. All the magazines of the time, we have time for them. Oh, let there be fashion magazine. We are on top of it. You don't realize that those things are actually time stealers. And I'm not saying don't once in a while read a magazine. I'm not that. But I'm saying you will know yourself. If you are chasing after magazines more than playing tapes, then I have a problem. You have a problem. I think you know what I'm saying. You are adult enough to know yourself. Where do you spend your time most? Where does your time go to? Quote, the prophet says, anything that takes more time than you and God is idolatry. Oh, we used to think idolatry, we left it in India. Idolatry, we left it in Egypt. We used to think idolatry, we left it in Africa. You could be right here in a civilized country and use up your time the wrong way. And this blessed prophet says, that's idolatry. In other words, you are idolizing something more than God and God's time. That quote has rebuked me. Amen? So watch this language of knighthood. Seven angels put a sword in my hand. That's exactly what the master does to the knight. He goes on, he says, this sword had a handle of pearl. Last night you were not here. Pearl of great price. The protector, the god, was gold, deity. The blade was silver. Psalms 12 verse 6. The word of the Lord is as silver. But it goes deeper than that. You see, all the three poles are interconnected. Who can say amen? One gives way for the other. Watch. Hand. That was the gift where you took their hands. It's part of the sword. Then the gift went beyond the hand. That's why the God is over above the hand. Second gift. And then it went to the blade itself. The third pull. First pull, second pull, third pull, the cutting part, the sword. Give God the praise. And the prophet doesn't leave it there. He says the blade wasn't too long. It was about 3 feet long. Why three? Because the third pull itself has three compartments. It's the opening of the word. The mystery is revealed. It's spoken at creative power. And then the other part is the most painful preaching to souls in prison now. People that will hear the gospel and it won't do them anything. Painfully, I said to my church before coming here, we are 1,000. And I'm aware that not all 1,000, I can see, not all 1,000 are really message. Painfully, I had to tell them, I said, folks, shake yourselves up. Warming a bench in a message church does not qualify you to be rapture material. What qualifies you to be rapture material, become the message. You and the message must be one. You see, so the blade wasn't too long. 3 feet long. He's revealing deeper secrets. And exactly the knights, they did not use the French sword. You've got to understand this. You've got what they call the Indian type of sword, you know, the banana sword. That doesn't fit knighthood. Then you've got the French one when they do fencing. It's not that one. It's that short one that the Romans almost adopted. There are times when a preacher preaches, the pastor here. Some Sundays he will preach like he's right in your face. It's that short sword. You'll feel so uncomfortable and say, did my husband say something to him? Did my wife speak? No, nobody did. It's the sword. It is so short that he's got to come very close to strike. Then there are other sermons the pastor preaches. Your head rolls before you know what happened. It's that banana sword. Wagga. Head rolls. But the other one, the French type. The preacher preaches, you're enjoying it. You don't realize you're being stabbed. Only when you get home, you take off your shirt, you say, I'm bleeding. Yes. It was so fast. What happened to me? Well, you were in church. Amen? So, they differ one from the other. But the one Brother Benham is describing, 3 feet is about this long. But the deeper meaning was, when you hit that third pull, the third pull itself is in 3 parts. Then he goes on and he uses, again, knight language, knighthood. He says, you know the way they used to lance, L-A-N-C-E, some people are called lance. It comes from dueling. And he doesn't stop there. He even uses the word dueling in the seals, page 68 of the old book. He uses the god as they were lancing and dueling. How many of you have heard the phrase, the gauntlet? Yes, it was a glove, part of the protection of a knight. If a knight wants to declare war, call for a duel, all he does, he just removes the glove, drops it. If you pick it up, you have taken his challenge. If you don't, you are defeated before you even start. Now let me say this to the youth. Obviously, when he takes off the one glove, he has another glove remaining. So where do you think Michael Jackson stole that from? The devil is a thief. Can I just share a few things with you? The devil is not original. It took me some time in the message to find out. E.g., just a few examples. The devil knows that in the Garden of Eden, it never rained. Water never came from above. Water, says the Bible, used to seep from underneath and water the face of the earth. The devil has been looking at that for hundreds of years. Today, here in America, you don't have to stand with your hose pipe. You just get some computers through science. And then suddenly little pipes will come from underneath the ground. And then tick, 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 tick. And if you don't know the Bible, you say, wow, science is great. You haven't read your Bible. He stole the idea from Genesis. Then the devil looked again. And he saw Jonah being swallowed by a fish, and the fish goes to the bottom of the sea, and the man breathes and is still alive 3 days later. Today he has a submarine. Where did he steal the idea from? The Bible. He looks again in the book of Acts. He sees the believers are imprisoned. They start singing choruses. Most of us would be calling for lawyers. I'm talking to you. When they put you in the slammer, the first thing you don't think of singing a chorus. You think of my lawyer. I'm entitled to one call. But those believers knew that the best call is him. Amen? You'll excuse me, I'm an old in Shona Masakuru, in Amdara. I don't understand why people are so over Facebook. I'm facing the book. This is my Facebook. Facebook. Face this book and then obey what it says. That's the best Facebook you have. Amen? I don't understand why people are... Anyway, the devil sees the doors open of their own accord and men walk out. Now, every supermarket today, as you approach, the doors open. If you don't know the Bible, you say science is great. You are giving praise to the tree of knowledge. Read the Bible and say, ah, God did it first. Yeah. Why did Brother Branham always tell you America is trying to put a man on the moon? He says, God has put Enoch and Elijah long before. Everything the devil has, sit down and look at it, it's stolen somewhere. I could go on and on. That message goes for 1 hour, 15 minutes. So what am I doing? I'm trying to show you that a man coming with one hand glove, and no, he stole it from some. That's how knights used to challenge. They drop the one glove, they remain with another. It's got nothing to do with the weather. Where the weatherman says, well, we're expecting rain. On the other hand, it'll be dry. So you come up wearing a glove because it might rain, and there's no glove here because the weather might be dry. Mercy, Lord Jesus. Oh, brother, watch the prophet now. He hasn't finished in this. He says the sword was bright, shiny. I'm going through many tapes summarizing. Bright, shiny. Bright means light. Shiny also has to do with light. He is telling you this sword is the word of life. It's the thing that's going to shine in our dark path. Show us which way to go. Watch. He said in another place, Seals 5:62, he says the sword was made of chrome, silver, shiny. Write down Psalms 12, verse 6. It's the word now. And David says, the word of the Lord that's purified in the earth 7 times. Purified where? In the earth. That's why that sword had to come from heaven, come down to earth, and fall in the hands of an earthly man. Now I'm going to go a little slow. Brother Benham says in the seals, he says, that sword fit my hand exactly. I want us to pause now. It's statements like these that have helped George Martin not to run after some Superman in the message, and then tomorrow the season changes, there's another Superman, gudu, 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 you run. No, the sword fit the hand of one man in this. I think you are matured enough to understand what he was saying. Not even anybody in his family had a hand to fit. He says it fit my hand exactly. Praise the Lord. He doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He says, and the saddle fit me just right. What's he telling you? Nobody can sit where I'm sitting. Let's get this through our spiritual filters. He was anointed when he said that. He says, and the stirrups. How many of you know what a stirrup is? When you ride a horse. You see, those are words of knighthood. Sword, saddle, stirrup. He uses all three to say, they fit me just exactly. What's he telling you? Nobody can mount this horse like I do. We will mount our little horses to follow, but nobody, you understand what I'm saying? Nobody can step up and say, I am replacing Brother Brent. There's no replacement. There's no substitution. The only one to substitute is Christ himself. Well, I was sharing with the pastor. I hope you won't mind because it'll do you good. My nickname is Curious George, like I said last night. So when I start hearing that, brother says it's Elohim. That one says it's Melchizedek. That one says it's the eighth messenger. I just sat down and I began to count around the world those I've heard of. And I came up with 28. Two of them have since died, so now we are left with 26. 26 men around the world, they don't know each other, and each one says, the sword has passed to me. Who's confused? Can't be God. How can we have 26 eighth messengers? See, insanity is beginning to strike the message, not the message itself. People that call themselves a message community. I'm telling you, Brother Benham said, what made Luther unique was not just the revival. It was that he kept his sanity. When insanity followed his message. And the quote says, and so it is today. You must read carefully. The prophet says, and so it is today. If you go to the seals, Brother Benham relates an incident. He says, the other day a man came looking for me. And when he found me, he said, are you William Branham? He said, yep, I am. He said, I'm here to tell you, 63, that the millennium is on. Brother Branham says, where? And the man says to Brother Branham, under the bridge. Let's say Route 66. Under the bridge, the millennium is on. Brother Branham says, as they come. Already insanity struck while the prophet was on the earth. Where do you think we are now? People are becoming insane, but the bride is becoming saner and saner. While others are losing it, the bride is coming into the mind of Christ. Because how do you become insane? It's when you lose your mind. Why do you think the Bible says, have the mind of Christ? So that you don't go insane. That's why the headship has appeared. Because we all say insanity is in the head, right? So why do you think the head has appeared in 63? To keep the body whole. God already knew these things are coming. God have mercy on us. The prophet says in the oneness, 1962, hallelujah, he had seen the vision. He says the sword is plenty sharp and it needs an arm of faith to wield it. He didn't say arms. That's how I read. And we know which arm he's referring to. Oh, God be praised. The arm of faith. That's why the Bible says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And in the seals, Brother Benham tells us what the arm of the Lord is. He says, to whom are the seals revealed? You'll find it under the sixth seal. Who would have known all these years that the arm of the Lord is to do with the seals? That's why if that sword left God's arm to come into his arm, it was a symbol that now I deputize you to take the seals and reveal them. Right, how many of you have seen the model of the tabernacle of Moses? I mean, coming from the east, passing the altar, then passing the laver, then coming to the curtains of the holy place, then you come in, and on your right is the table of bread, on your left is the menorah, and a little ahead of you is the incense, and then shortly behind it, the curtains that veil the holies of holies, where the angels and the wings are. How many of you have seen that model? Do you know that the ministry of Brother Benham followed exactly that? Wish I had it to project it here, but in our church we have it on the system. Brother Benham's ministry was an east to west ministry. Just exactly the plan of the tabernacle. Brother Benham lived in Jeffersonville. I'm not sure which direction from where I'm standing, but it's like Eastern Board. But the vision says, move west. So he's got to travel east, going west. And then God is so specific, he said, you must be 40 miles northeast of Tucson. Did you hear that? After moving in the plan of the tabernacle, now he's in Arizona. Look what God does. He's chasing after the javelina hogs. He's with brethren. You must listen very carefully. This is beautiful. God doesn't want him and the brethren to be 40 miles northeast. The vision said only he. So God allows the javelinas to split. So the rest of the brothers go this way. It's God's way to get his men into position. Brother Benham, like any man, is forgotten about the vision. He's running. God is doing the calculation. Why? 36 maybe. I don't know how long he ran. But let's say 38. 38 and a half. I don't know how long he ran. 39. He's still running. He's just about coming to pass 40 because he's running. God must apply brakes. Cockle burrs. Why do you think the cockle burrs were for? To stop him. And right where he stopped was exactly 40 miles northeast. I love my God for that. He says when he bent to remove the cockle burrs, he says then it struck him. I'm in the vision. He says, right at that moment, there was a blast. The angels took him up. You know why? In God's plan, he had run the distance of coming into the Holies of Holies. Then those angels were in the Holies of Holies, guarding the mercy seat. They took him up because they, hallelujah, came with the mercy seat, Christ himself. So people who say mercy is over, I really pity them. Ask me why. Say why. Because why did Brother Benham in 65 preach God rich in? You say mercy is over in 63, your prophet says no. In 65, I'm still preaching God rich in mercy. Somebody missed it. At any rate, the prophet is taken up into those clouds. What does the voice say? Return back east and preach those seals. Why? When the high priest had gone into the holies of holies, the congregation couldn't follow him. They must wait on the eastern side of the tent. The whole plan playing out. So Brother Benham comes out of the angels. He moves back to Jeffersonville. He's moving east because that's where the congregation would be waiting for Aaron to say, you went in. What does God say? Amen. And Aaron's best words would be, God says, one word, pardoned. Go to 1963, after Brother Benham preached the seals. He preached one message entitled, one word, pardoned. Give God the glory. You see? So you are dealing with knighthood. You're dealing with the Aaronic ministry, you're dealing with the Melchizedek ministry. I love the way Brother Benham entitled the message, who is this Melchizedek? He was showing you that Melchizedek who met Abraham, that Melchizedek has met another Abraham called Branham. Brother Benham preached the present tense Melchizedek. And since this Melchizedek had no beginning of days, no ending of days, he's still alive today. Hallelujah! And he has no mother, he has no father. I was sharing with the pastor that 10 minutes from our church in Pretoria, there's a man who's been in the message with us many years. He actually left our church some many years ago. And he says he's Melchizedek. And his father and mother attends his church. When the Bible says our Melchizedek has no mother, no father. Why have people stopped reading their Bibles? He eats sadza. You know what sadza is? Grits. And he calls himself Melchizedek. Oh, Jesus. I've said too much. But I know you are matured people because you sit under a matured pastor. You know that if you sidetrack from this message, Satan is a roaring lion. He's not busy nowhere anymore. He wants message people. You are the last thing standing that's hindering his plans. So don't give in. We are knights, we are warriors. Take the sword of the message and cut through. Oh, there's so much to say. Brother Branham says in the seals, page 69, he says, that sword was razor sharp. He says, you know, I don't like blades, he says. He says, but that sword was razor sharp. It's two-edged. It cuts this way and that way. And it's so true. Sometimes a minister comes to the platform not intending to say things that he also needs to overcome. But when the Spirit takes him over, the sword cuts the congregation and cuts him too. He might not tell you, but when he gets home, he starts groaning before the Lord. He says, Lord, you spoke to me. I know, I'm one of them. I know when God speaks to me from the very sermon. And people don't think. It's a two-edged sword. Huh? Because when you lift it up to throw it this way, it's already cutting this way. Oh, there is no escape. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Then the prophet doesn't stop there. In Evening Messenger, paragraph 236, he says, sharp sword. Lord, send us a great message. See? He already knew that this sword that fell in his hand is to do with the message of the hour. In Victory Day, 1963, he says, rise up, real soldiers, grip that sword, and let's move forward. Now, you see, that language, he's already showing that I'm already knighted. Now, here's something I didn't say last night. Once a man was knighted, he had a right to knight others. Give God the glory. Once he was knighted, he could knight others. And there it is. He says, rise up, real soldiers. Grip the sword and let's move forward. Amen. Language of knighthood, my brother. He says, may I hold the king's sword tightly. That statement had me thinking for a few months. Why does he say, hold the king's sword tightly? When I began to research, then I found out that if a knight was dueling, he was in battle, and his sword was knocked out of his hand, it was considered a defeat. No time was the knight ever permitted to let go of the sword. Give God the praise. So you see, in his language, he was saying, Lord, I'm in this battle. Let me hold this sword so tight. It applies to you and to me. You cannot say, I took the message in 19, what, 20, what, and then I let go. No. Once you put your hands on the plow, don't look back. Once you grip the sword, don't look back. Cut your way through. It reminds me of David's warriors. You know, if you ever read David, if David had 30,000 men of war, he would have a tenth of them, 30,000 second batch. Then from the 30,000, see, David would have 3,000, you see, and then he would a tenth, until finally he had three great warriors. See, it's escalating. Then one day he said, I thirst. Oh my, the king's desire became a command. They said, you thirst? They didn't ask questions. Bethlehem at the time was in the hands of Philistines like it is today. Philistine is Palestinian. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you know, I'm just breaking my thought, I'll come back to David. Do you know that in the days of Jesus, they chose Barabbas over Jesus? Who is the leader of the Palestinians? Abbas. God just hid it. If he is Abbas, it means he's the son of Abbas. He's Bar Abbas. And the world today is turning against Israel, preferring the Palestinians. There it is again. they are choosing instead of. Well, because my visa is up to 2023. Let me not say too much. I want to be able to come back. So David says, I thirst. And the Bible says three men with their swords. See, they are knighted already. They have been so long with David. They have seen knighthood in David. They have seen how he fights. They fought the same way. Brother Branham says they fought through 15 miles of flesh. Three men with a bucket. And they scoop the water at the gate of Bethlehem. Every time we do Bethlehem, I know where the well is. We point it out. The freshest water's better than wherever David had been. And they fought another 15 miles back. And not a drop fell to the ground. Why is it saying not a drop? You see, you are carrying this bucket called a message. Don't let one tape drop. Don't let one spoken word drop. Every tape from 46 to 65, every drop of it, I want it in my bucket. I can't drink half. I have to drink the whole thing. That's why old Mo says, I believe this Bible from kiva to kiva. And I believe the kiva also. I believe the message plus the titles on top. Hallelujah. I believe everything. If you may remember, it was 1985 that the Lord put something in my heart. I was reading the battle of David and Goliath. I'm going to close in a while. And suddenly, in fact, my wife can better testify. We were going to fly to America. Our flight was in the morning. And it's 3 a.m. I'm still in the study. And we are flying at 6. She says, come sleep. It's a long flight. I said, honey, you will not believe what's happening. It was the message of the titles. The first place I preached it at was Brother Ed Biskell. George Smith was in the audience. I didn't even know. I said, David woke up one morning. And David looked up in the skies and said, it is the rising of the sun. And his father called him and said, David, I want you to take these sandwiches to your brothers. David says, yes, Dad, spiritual food in due season. And as David approached the area of the battle, and he heard screaming and shouting, David thought, today, this is the place where the greatest battle ever fought will be fought. As David entered the camp, his brothers greeted him. He said, Shalom, Shalom, Sierra Vista 1963, Shalom, Shalom. David inquired, what man is this that's cursing the armies of Israel? They said, a giant. He's about six, what, and a span. He says, to me, he's nothing but the Tower of Babel. Amen. They said, David, how are you going to fight this man? He says, well, I'll give you my testimony. He says, in winter I killed a bear. In summer I killed a lion. Does not the scripture say be instant in season and out of season? They said, David, you are not a soldier. This man is a soldier since his youth. Try Saul's sword. Try this. You see, Saul had his knight armory. It just didn't fit him. Brother Benham says, ecclesiastical PhDs, they didn't fit. So David says, I will go and face him with my sling and my stone. That's all I know. Huh? And as David slung that stone and he began to swing it, all that he saw was Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. Hallelujah. God's hand took over, and when that stone left his sling, hallelujah, Goliath looked this way, it was coming. He tried to duck this way, it was supernaturally controlled. If he tried to duck down, it leveled it. You see, it was God controlling the stone. Goliath looked, he said, flashing red light of his coming. Am I talking the message, people? And it hit him right in the forehead. You know why it hit him in the forehead? That's where his great, 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 great grandfather was marked in the Garden of Eden. He's a descendant of Cain. as Goliath toppled over, everything became topsy-turvy. Goliath cried out, the world is falling apart. And as he dropped, David took his own sword, and David shouted, God's word calls for a total separation. And that day, there was a great victory day. That's how the message was birthed. So as I close, only the titles already blessed you. See? I was just quoting the titles. So if the titles are such a blessing and they are tying into the word, what about the contents? Go back to the tapes. Hallelujah. Oh my, he says, Lord, let me grip that sword and like Joshua, divide the land, you see. There he goes. So if a knight had his sword knocked out of his hand, he lost the battle. So today, do not allow the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, ever to leave you. And we've been speaking for about an hour. Can you believe it? This is the quote that everybody uses in the seventh seal 573, otherwise New Book 373. He says, and when the time comes that I must lay down, when I get down to the river and the waves begin to come in, O God, may I be able to hand this old sword over to somebody else. Everybody of the 26 men says, it's me. But listen to this. If you go back to the scriptures, Pastor, give me 5 minutes. If you go back to the scriptures, Revelation 10, can you please open your Bibles to Revelation 10? We are closing. I want to share a great secret with you. While you are finding Revelation 10, you will notice that the book in Revelation 10 is written in sequences. Well, if you've ever studied the writings of Nostradamus, Michel de Nostradamus, they'll call them quatrains, but we're not interested in Michel de Nostradamus, but how the paragraphs are written, they're called quatrains. Well, Revelation 10 is written in quatrains. How? Because if you read Revelation 10, 1, it introduces the master of us all. And then, as you read on the other quatrain, introduces a messenger on the earth, Revelation 10, 7. Then, after Revelation 10, 7, John is commanded again to go back to the angel and eat the book. So 10:1 gives it to 10:7. 10:7 gives it to John, symbol of the bride, from verse 8 to 11. And what is the product of 10:8 to 11? Eat the book and re-preach it. Prophesy again means re-preach it. Is that right? Are you at Revelation 10? Watch what we're going to do. Look at verse 1. It starts with the word end. Is that right? Do you know that in English they say you do not start a sentence with a conjunction, but God can. Revelation 10 starts with a conjunction, end. All of you who studied English, the teacher will tell you, wrong. But listen carefully. Watch verse 2, end. Correct? Watch verse 3, end. Watch verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, verse 8. Verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, go back to verse 7, but. Let me demonstrate. You see, God knows before I close that monotone puts people to sleep. I'm going to look at me, all of you, as I demonstrate. And. You see, and. But what? But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, hallelujah, God designed it on purpose that the but must wake you up. Because the but is the message will wake us up from our spiritual denominational sleep. I haven't finished. In Hebrew, we don't read the same way as in English. In English, we start from the left, we read to the right. In Hebrew, you start from the right, you read to the... Let's go back to verse 1. Read it the Jewish way. DNA. Verse 2, DNA. Verse 3, DNA. Verse 4, verse 5. Verse 6, DNA. Verse 8, DNA. You see, God hiding it that in the Jewish way, the end is God's original DNA coming to you. So how do you read verse 7? The Jewish way, tub. But is tub. In English, tub is a container. Give God the praise. Hallelujah! A tub full of chocolate, a tub full of cheese, a tub. There is your man in whom God had all these things hidden for him to put them on the tapes. So, by the grace of God, you understand why Brother Benham said as I close, may that sword, watch now in the seals, he says, when those seven thunders, now there are different versions, we stick to Brother Benham's version, okay? So don't let thunders scare you, there's the right version, we stick to the prophet's version. He says, the seven thunders, if they utter to that group that can handle the word of God, do you see? The thunders altering their voices to that group that will slice and cut. It means the sword is over to them. That's a real bride. It says, they that can handle the word. Now we close with Solomon. Pastor, you may make ready to come. Solomon has these two women. The two women type churches. Brother Benham says there are only two vines. One is correct. The other vine is wrong. There it is in Solomon. Two women, one false vine, one true vine. Listen to me as I close. They both give birth 3 days apart, meaning the children are not that far apart. There would have never been an argument if these women had different boyfriends. I'm not going to talk further. But if the one child looked like me, and the one child looked like Brother Mike, there's no fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So those children must have looked identical. That's why Brother Benham says the two spirits are so close together. The one died, the one continues to live. And when you read very carefully, when Solomon says, what happened? It is the real mother who tells the story from the beginning till the end. It's the true bride that knows how it started in the first church age. The other woman, all she says is, it's not so, it's not so, it's not so. But the real church knew how it started and where it is now. That's you. So now, to show that that mystery runs through the church ages, Solomon is listening. From the beginning of the story, he's not saying a word. The king only speaks at the end. Give God the praise. This is the hour that the king has spoken from the cloud. Then the king calls for a sword. And who brings it? A servant. Where is the sword in this hour? In the hand of a servant. And he says to the servant, now you divide. You rightly divide the word of truth. So the other woman, because she hasn't got that motherliness, she knows in her heart her dogma died years ago in the dark ages. Because she said she overslept the child. She rolled over the child when? In the midnight. Brother Benham says they died in the dark ages. Solomon says, divide the child. The real mother responds from within. It's no longer emotions now. There's where the secret is. I've been through the message, emotions, we thought it was it. But now Solomon is going to prove that the real thing will respond from within. The real mother says, no, don't give me half a message. Because if you cut that child, you give me half, it's half a message. Give her the whole message or give it to me.
Amen. Do you believe that? The first message I ever heard, Brother George, I believe it was in 1991 or 92, and it was that message. He was preaching about Solomon. It never left me. It's amazing how God can keep something in your heart and in your mind all that many years. But then he just completed the message tonight. You don't want half a message. You want the whole thing. Through the years, I've said, God didn't send me to come here to preach about polygamy, just the thunders, just this, just that. He told me to preach the whole message. And that's been my desire the whole time, is preach the whole message that Brother Branham brought. We don't want half. We don't want just one thing. We want the complete, full meal of the word of the hour. And God said he'd give it to you. So friend, where do you stand tonight? Do you stand in the word? When the king says, divide it, and you say, I want it all. Give it to them or give it to me. Your actions, as he said, is going to prove who you are. I don't have to prove to anybody who I am. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to stand for Jesus Christ, that he protects me, that he defends me, so that when somebody says something about me, say, no. We know who Brother Mike is. And I can say, I know who Brother Tim is. I know who Brother Jim Namichi is. And you know what I'll do? I'll say, Brother, I heard this about you. Now you tell me. That's what real brothers will do. We're going to stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. That's what we're going to sing too. If you stand for anything else, it's just worldlyism. We've got, thus saith the Lord. It's not a half truth. It's a whole truth. Now you might think this is funny. Now my little granddaughter's here tonight. She wanted to come with us yesterday and we couldn't work it out. She said, I want to go to church. I want to see Curious George. So I was sitting there thinking, Brother George has not said, my nickname is Curious George. And I said, Lord, for the sake of my little granddaughter, would you just let Brother George say, I'm Curious George? You can say what you want. Almost the next thing he said was, my name is Curious George. And I said, Lord, and I turned and looked. She heard it. Listen, friends, just the little things. These children desire. They hear what you say. She heard him say that back in November when he was here. And it just stuck in her little heart. Let me tell you something. Say things that will stick. That will remind them that they want to go to church. They want to be in the presence of God. Because something is real in their life. That's what we want to do, is make it real to the children. Make it real to the adults. To the adolescents. Everybody needs to be real. We don't want nothing fake. Let's just stand for Jesus Christ. Let's just sing the song. Hallelujah. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim his promise, he will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. In this world
filled with pleasure. We're tempted and tried. For the more that we have here on this earth, the less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'm gonna claim His promise. He will supply. We'll walk together, the Lord and I. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let the world go by. And when it's time to depart from this soul body of mine, I don't want to own one thing I can't leave behind. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go right on by. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let this world go by. I'm gonna claim His promise. You know He will supply. We're gonna walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Why don't you turn around and say to somebody, I'm going to stand for Jesus. There's nothing more in this world that you need to stand for than Jesus Christ. He's the one that chose to give us the prophet messenger of the age that we're living in. Brother Branham came and he gave his all. And when you hear the voice of God speaking through that man, never a man spake like this man than Jesus Christ. For us, it's thus saith the Lord. You're going to stand for Jesus Christ? Amen. We're so thankful to have all of you here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Jim Namich if he'll come and dismiss us in prayer. He was with us on this past Wednesday night. And you know, we want to just keep standing for the Word. Brother Jim traveled from Ghana. Brother George traveled from South Africa. You traveled from wherever you came from. But it's the same Holy Ghost. There's but one bride. She speaks the same language. She lives the same way because it's the same Holy Ghost. If it's anything different, you got a false doctrine. You need to know that Jesus Christ is living inside of your soul and that you've given everything to Him. Let's just sing one more time before Brother Jim comes. I'm gonna stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'm gonna claim His promise. He will supply. We're gonna walk together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus, my Lord, and let the world go by. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah! A little chorus. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Oh, I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just curious. As Brother George was preaching, I was sitting down there. I was thinking of something. Do you have a pen in your pocket? If you step out from number 7, then you get over to... Can I damage this page? How many know that this 8? If you turn it this way, what does it mean? Infinity. From 7, you go to infinity. And that is God. Heavenly Father, how can we, Lord Jesus, overlook God in simplicity in our age? How can we look lightly on what you have done in this little old Kentuckian illy-billy? Father, may the simplicity of the message never go over our heads. Cause us to humble our hearts and recognize that it couldn't be a man. It has to be Jehovah God in that man speaking to us. Preparing our hearts, O Lord, forming his own image in us, that when we see him, we shall be like him. And then we can stay in eternity with him. We want to thank you for this precious, precious message. Bless your servants that are keeping this dignity of this message. Bless everyone that believes it the way it was sent down. And continue to help us to wield the sword of the Spirit, Lord, and never let it slip by. This is our prayer. Guide each person home and bring each one safely to their nest tomorrow. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Amen. God bless you, saints. All right, that's all. All right, one more time. The words are, I am standing on the rock. And the rock is Jesus. It's just that short. Don't sing. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. That's all, right? So let's do it now. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. Oh yes, I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm standing. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock.
Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. I can't sing it like him, but we'll sing it while you're dismissed. Amen. I'll trust Brother Michael. You know the song? Well, come on. You got it. Come on. You know it. I'm trying to save my voice a little bit. I got to preach next week. Amen. Are you stuck?
Amen. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the...
You're dismissed. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. And Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock.
One more time.
I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I'm standing on the rock. Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
They were gathered.
They were gathered in the upper room all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and powerful service came. Now what it did for them that day, do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Come on, brother.
Come on, brother. Seek this blessing. Have the start the doorbell ringing.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let me say this before everybody leaves. Our brothers from our church, if you will not forget, we need to take all of our instruments and all of our equipment back to the Seventh-day Adventist church and put it back over there. You see Brother Tim, he'll guide you in the right direction. Please don't forget to help us out, okay? You guys know who you are. The Lord bless you for doing that. Amen. I bless your name as you're dismissed. Amen.
I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name.
Sing it one more time.
I bless your name. I bless.
I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the light, the truth, the